Mobius's Code by Francis Rosenfeld. Jennifer 2.0.2. This could be good. Jennifer watched her project, satisfied. She'd been working on it for a whole week and it had turned out exactly the way she wanted. She'd always dreamed of owning a pottery shed and she had spared no mental effort in getting all the details precisely right. Everything in the little room was perfect. The light shone through the window exactly the right way. The ceiling was the ideal height. And it had the optimal mix of modern and arts and crafts style that she was envisioning. There were even a few pottery projects in progress, some of which still needed glazing, others ready for the kiln. Jennifer thought it amusing that she would involve herself in anything artistic at all, since she'd always been told, by all the people in her life, that she wasn't the creative type and she should develop her strengths, which included hard work, modesty and self-sacrifice. "I don't know whether I have any talent for pottery making, but nobody else's opinion really matters in this place, does it?" She was in a good mood, put one of the pots in the kiln and watched the glaze slowly change color in the midst of the reddish-blue flames. She sipped her tea in peace and watched the sun go down over the hills and the olive grove. A strong scent of olive oil wafted through the window and she had to think for a few seconds whether she liked it or not. The smell subsided. "I guess that answers it. Honeysuckle, maybe?" The sandbox dutifully provided honeysuckle fragrance. "Maybe this is heaven after all," Jennifer smiled. She had this nagging feeling that she should go home, a feeling as unpleasant as it was out of place in the midst of this perfect piece she had found here. It annoyed her, because she knew there was absolutely nothing waiting for her home, other than ditching questions about her consulting business. She tried to push the thought out of her mind but it didn't go away. If anything, it got more persistent. It dulled the light in the pottery shed and extinguished the flames around the pot in the kiln. "Great, that project is ruined. Now it's going to take me a full day to reheat the kiln." She was furious and determined not to go home now, on principle, but then she started worrying that something might be wrong with her loved ones. She dropped back into reality on her front steps, as opposed to on her living room couch, like she always did, and this change increased her anxiety. She didn't even have time to turn the key in the lock when the door swung open, like the mouth of an angry dragon. She winced instinctively, expecting flames. "Oh, you have decided to come home." Her mother welcomed her in the doorway. "This is the last time I ever worry about you, Jennifer. You can do whatever you wish from now on. I don't care where you go. I don't care who you meet. Do whatever you want." What the heck did I do now? Jennifer asked herself quietly what unleashed this wrath. 3 days and no phone call. "I've been worried sick about you. Your boyfriend even called me, wondering where you were." Her mother continued her righteous indignation. "Oh, so that's what this is all about," Jennifer thought and then continued out loud. "Mom, you don't even like my boyfriend." "That's the only kind of person you are capable of attracting, Jennifer. One has to resign oneself eventually to the reality of how things are. And why would any man care about you when you don't care about anybody other than yourself?" Jennifer tried to support herself but the side table she was leaning against let her hand pass through it like it was made of thin air. "Oh, not this crap again." Jennifer's attention got pulled in 5 different directions, as she tried to shift the attention away from her unfortunate quantum state instability. She aggravated the situation. "You're not even listening to me, are you? I hope you're happy with your choices. I tried and tried for years and I'm finally at my wit's end. Did you even think of feeding this poor animal?" She pointed to the kitten, whose round belly looked satisfyingly full. "How can you even consider taking on the care of a poor animal when you're not even capable of feeding yourself? Is that consulting business of yours even real? I don't know. I don't know. I can only assume it's another one of those things you start and hope they work out and then get bored with, because you never bother to put any real effort into anything. No wonder your life never works out." "But, Mom," Jennifer interjected, knowing full well the attempt was hopeless. "Enough about your emotional drama, Jennifer. People have real problems and you are acting like a spoiled brat. You've never lacked for anything and you have no idea what real hardship is like." Jennifer had to admit that indeed, for all her snooze-inducing existence, she didn't really have any serious problems, not unless dying at 29 counted for something. Of course, philosophically speaking, dying wasn't a problem in and of itself, since with the afterlife and all it was basically like moving to a different neighborhood, with any luck a better one. This existential musing built up to a full-blown revolt, which cried out to her that she'd been bestowed an unbelievable grace. She had been taken outside of life and death, and somebody, anybody who ever loved her in her former life, should be happy for her. She was almost surprised to hear the words come out of her mouth. "Mom, I should be dead by now, but I'm not. Why can't anybody be happy about it? Just be happy about my being here. Why is that never enough? See, this is exactly what I'm talking about, Jennifer. This horrible, manipulative comments of yours. Every time I'm trying to have a serious discussion with you about your life priorities, you throw these despicable things at me, just to push the conversation down to a level that justifies your failures. You are not a child anymore, you've reached the age of 29 and you have nothing, no family, no job that I can believe in, no friends, and now you imposed your irresponsible lifestyle on this poor kitten. If you have any sense at all, you'll give him away before he starves to death because you forgot to feed it. You're such a disappointment, Jennifer, and I'm so tired of cleaning up after you. Do whatever you want from now on, I don't care. Her mother exited, slamming the door like she used to do under these circumstances, and leaving Jennifer stunned and alone in the middle of her living room. She sat down carefully on the sofa, testing it first, to make sure she wasn't going to fall through it, and couldn't find her bearings for a while thoughts raced through her head at 1,000 miles an hour. She could hardly even remember the happy afternoon in her pottery shed, whose only effect on the lower reality was the tiny black pitcher on the coffee table. It was pretty, too small to really hold anything, and self-effacing enough not to get noticed at a first or even second glance. It was the perfect metaphor for her life. What does everybody always want from me? Jennifer suddenly revolted. If I brought eternal life, they wouldn't find it enough. I'm never going to be happy, because nobody thinks I've done enough to deserve it. Why am I still here anyway? Shouldn't I be out there traipsing around the universe and making supernovas? It's not like I'm going to be missed or anything. Unless I'm the designated beating boy, we wouldn't want me to shirk those duties. She sulked, more and more furious, thinking that she should have used all of these newfound creative skills to show them all, to be the greatest and most extraordinary, to dazzle everybody with her greatness and demonstrate to her mother what she was capable of. So then maybe, just maybe, she would hear the words she'd been waiting for her entire life but which never came. I so wish I were important for once. I wish I were one of those people everybody thinks are great. Surely they never had to listen to this depressing conversation in their life. If only to see my mother's reaction to it, if nothing else, she cried herself to sleep, while a couple more decorative pictures materialized on her nightstand. Their half-baked glaze had turned out surprisingly beautiful metallic blue hues. Jennifer. Mobius yelled so loudly he made all the windows shake. What is it, what? Jennifer jumped out of bed, frazzled like a chicken in a panic. Get dressed and come with me immediately. He thundered in her direction. He was 50% taller than she remembered and had a glow around his head which swirled with bright white and blue lights. Jennifer instinctively knew what that meant. He was angry. What happened? What did I do? She tried to lighten the atmosphere. See for yourself. He guided her out the front door to an interesting landscape. They were right across the street from the main gates leading into Jennifer Park, whose lovely honeysuckle arbors provided a backdrop for the giant billboards advertising Jennifer Industries in the distance. As they walked down the street, they passed by a Jennifer bed and breakfast, two Jennifer ice cream parlors, and the Jennifer petting zoo. They turned the corner to the town square and stopped at one of the Jennifer coffee shops whose outdoor tables offered a great view of the Jennifer Monument. Oh boy, this isn't good, she thought, wondering how she was going to explain all of this to Mobius, but the latter didn't seem to need clarification. I told you, no negatives. The angel raised his voice. But I wasn't anywhere near unconstructed space, she mumbled, confused. It doesn't matter. How do you not get this? You are unconstructed space. You are your life here. You are your relationships. You are everything you see. You can't escape your own mind. He uttered, exasperated. But I didn't even ask for any of this, none of this is even mine. Jennifer whimpered, that is correct, none of this is yours. Who said it would be yours? The creative process is impersonal by excellence, it doesn't care about your motives, just your feelings about them. This, he swept his arm broadly across the Jennifer landscape, is what we call an unintended consequence. Well, I guess at least my mother will see me differently now, she thought. Of course she will. She is going to see all of these successful Jennifers everywhere and wonder why hers never amounted to anything. Congratulations, now you have additional groveling to do. He looked around, disgusted. Good God, if I see another Jennifer anything I'm going to hurl, how long is this going to last? She asked sheepishly, trying to avoid looking at the name tag of the waitress who had brought them the coffee. She didn't need to read it to know what the woman's name was. Too long. Mobius raised his voice. And then realized he was in a public place. Thank you, he smiled politely at the waitress, who responded, "Please, enjoy," and left. I just wanted somebody to care about me, to see me. Jennifer started crying softly, and couldn't help notice that her emotional response made Mobius vastly uncomfortable. The latter kept searching his pockets for a tissue, finally found one, offered it to the sniffling Jennifer, and then patted her awkwardly on the back in an attempt to comfort. "It doesn't work that way, Jennifer," he tried to soothe her. "You can't make people care about you, that's not how this works." "But then what is the point of all this? What is the point of anything at all? All of this Jennifer stuff is worth nothing, I wouldn't care about it if it were mine." "That's probably why it isn't yours, you don't care enough about it." "So, you are telling me that I can have absolutely anything I can dream up, except for the only thing I really ever wanted in my life?" Jennifer pinned him with an icy stare. "What in blazes is the point of heaven, then?" Somewhere in unconstructed space, the pile of blankets grew another foot. "Mobius, it's been a while, hasn't it?" Avail made a genuine attempt at small talk. He wasn't much of a small talk guy, and the words came out clunkier than a wooden clog. He changed his mind and went straight for the heart of the matter. "I thought I sent you downstairs to fix things, not end the world as we know it. Your human is making an unholy mess." He stared at Mobius to make sure the latter had pondered the seriousness of his situation. "Do you understand what the duties and responsibilities of a guardian angel are? I know it's not your specialty, but you did train, right?" "Oh, great." He decided to go for the condescending approach. Mobius crunched the emergence of a curse before it managed to raise to the surface of his consciousness. That was all that was missing in this situation, using unsanctioned language in the high chambers. "Do you have anything to say? Out loud, I mean." Avail cut his shredding session short. "We're making great progress?" Mobius flashed him a charming smile. "Really?" Avail decided to play along. "Let's see what we've got here. Unmanaged quantum states, disrupting the physical construct, several potential sources of unauthorized disclosure, unexplained wherewithals, consulting services in Zanzibar." "Seriously? Are you trying to be disrespectful, or does it just come naturally to you?" "Non-mitigated pressure points, and lastly, but most importantly, bestowing angelic capacity on a human. Have you completely lost your mind? What is wrong with you, Mobius? I'm simply trying to understand what, if there can be a rational explanation for this disaster, could be your reasons." He picked up the file on his desk, which was supposed to only contain half a page but had now grown to a hefty size. "See, since you created this problem for me and now I have to waste my time on this one human when I get 350,000 of them coming fresh every day, I decided to read the script." "It's bad, Mobius. Really bad." His voice dropped an octave, to impress the gravity of the situation on the erring angel who was sitting, unnaturally calm, on the other side of the desk. "You know, I had Benadryl, who, as always, never disappoints in the performance of his duties, try to fix this. He took over your workload, poor thing, I don't know how he does it all." "Benadryl? Good heavens, I know exactly how he does it all. He finds the dumbest script ever created and copy-pastes it on as many files he can get his hands on. How lucky are they, those poor suckers, to have no idea it's happening." Mobius couldn't help an unorthodox opinion. "Anyway, I asked Benadryl to take a look at her file, and he tried to fix it, but apparently some of your innovative approaches are above his pay grade." "No." Mobius replied sarcastically, "if only in thought. It would behoove you to show some contrition as opposed to this flippant attitude. You do understand the magnitude of the problem you created? What possessed you to tie her into 12 different Akashic libraries? She synced with them in all directions of time, present, past and future, in a way that only God himself would be able to untangle. 29 years of unmonitored activity, there is no corner of the universe that was left untouched. I don't even know where to start, if there is a starting point in this bowl of spaghetti. Now, I know what you're going to say, that we had custom sandboxes made for humans before, not a big deal, but your program is stuck in an infinite loop, Mobius, and I can only hope, for your sake, that this happened by accident. Please tell me you didn't do this on purpose." He stared at Mobius intently, trying to scoop the guilt out of the wrongdoer's gaze, but the latter was looking down, so there was no way to tell. "Were you planning to spend eternity on Earth babysitting this being? Because that's what's going to happen now." It had been a long unspoken understanding in the angelic realm that being sent downstairs to the physical world was among the worst jobs one could ever have. Everybody accepted it graciously, as it is fitting for an eternal entity in good standing, and tried to get it over with as soon as possible, so they could return to the order and the harmony and the clean environment of heaven, pure and undefiled by human thought. The idea of spending eternity in that cesspool of negative emotions and unprocessed consciousness instantly nauseated him. He had this sudden urge to strangle Jennifer, just for the heck of it. Oh man, they got to me already. Now I'm having the same reactions they do. I have to do something to fix this. I can't exist in this state. I'm glad you arrived to this conclusion on your own, Mobius. I know you're talented, we all make mistakes, but I have every trust in you that you'll come up with a beneficial solution for your little human and for the rest of us as well. I don't think it is a good idea for an angel to get a pet, but to each his own. Just keep her off the furniture, will you? How lucky am I to be the only entity who can understand the program? You really need me, don't you? Mobius thought, vaguely amused. Don't be facetious, Mobius. Remember what happened to the prideful ones. Ah, good, you're here. Mobius breathed a sigh of relief when he found Jennifer in her pottery shed, focused on her latest project. We need to talk. This short phrase carried so much emotional burden that Jennifer clammed up and immediately stopped listening. Never in her life had this phrase ever been followed by anything other than pain and misfortune. This was the phrase her parents used before they took away her phone and sent her to boot camp, and her boyfriends, when they broke up with her, and her bosses, when they fired her, and her best friend, when she told her she was going to move far, far away. In time it had occurred to Jennifer that talking was nothing more than a vehicle which allowed people to hurt each other without having to resort to actual physical violence. A weapon of mass cruelty, perfectly within the bounds of the law. Please, Jennifer. It's not about you, it's about me. Mobius managed to raise her defensiveness level by an order of magnitude. Oh, well, I've never heard that one before, Jennifer thought. I have to admit this is a completely new context, though. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody being dumped or fired by their guardian angel. Come to think of it, she didn't personally know anybody else who had spoken to an angel, not to mention have an argument with one. There was that Old Testament story about Jacob wrestling with an angel, but she always thought that was a metaphorical, rather than a literal struggle, leg injury notwithstanding. Why did all of these things happen to her? She had managed to find some peace and contentment here, and now she feared she would have to go back to her old life and forget about all of this, and she didn't want her old life. She didn't want it enough before her time of demise, and she certainly didn't want it now. Mobius gestured broadly with his hands to stop this train wreck of a thought process in its tracks before it started spawning garbage everywhere. No, 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 Jennifer, no. Please listen. I'm going to need you to stay here for a while, until you get a hold of yourself. I air-gapped your sandbox, so that all of the changes will only happen here. Just take your time, clean up your pile of blankets, do yoga, whatever it takes to clear your mind of the thought forms that pollute the world with unsavory artifacts. Please, for me? He smiled the most persuasive smile he could muster. Why? She asked, half relieved that she didn't have to abandon her newfound pottery hobby. Let's just say your creative endeavors echoed upstairs. It's serious, Jennifer, I could get in a lot of trouble. Please, just stay here for a while. But won't people declare me missing? What about my mother? Jennifer asked. Don't worry about that, I made a copy. A copy of what? She almost fell out of her chair. You can do that? She blurted, incredulous, and then she found the thought of a doppelganger walking around and pretending to be her infuriating. That's not possible, you can't tell me my mother won't be able to tell the difference. Well, this might not be the best time to break this to you, but I've replaced you with a copy numerous times. We always do that when we have to upload the upgrades, and trust me, nobody can tell the difference. Especially your mother. What upgrades? Her outrage kept building up. It's not important right now, the point is you can't manifest downstairs for a while, until you're in control of your capabilities. It's never important, is it? God forbid I'd miss any opportunity to surrender my immediate needs in order to cater to other people's priorities. Well, I had to decide for you and I decided that you're going to stay up here for a while. I'm not taking the elevator all the way down just because you can't get your Jennifer straight. Stay here and practice. No. Jennifer found the worst moment to assert herself. You can't copy me, that's just not possible. Admit that you're lying. Of course I can copy you. He retorted, irritated. Here. A second Jennifer appeared, moved around in ways that were very Jennifer-like and then disappeared. When are you going to start taking me seriously? Besides, you already knew this, because that was your first fear when you got here by yourself, that you have made endless copies of yourself. Everything that can be thought of already exists somewhere. It's just a matter of skill and effort to bring it to the surface. So much for being a unique, unrepeatable snowflake. Jennifer got suddenly dejected. Actually, the pattern is indeed unique, and all the copies of you are still you. We just endeavor not to run more than one at a time. It tends to get confusing. I can't imagine why, she remembered her previous grievance. Let me out of here. I want to go home. As I already explained, you can't go home right now because there is another you there, talking to your mother. Trust me, you can totally skip that particular conversation. It's about your boyfriend. I don't care if it is about the meaning of life. I want to go home. You can't keep me here. Then by all means, go, he suggested. How? She asked. There is that little detail. Maybe if you tend to your practice and your learning, you will figure it out. That's exactly what I'm talking about. I feel like I'm having to explain to a 3-year-old why it's not okay to run into traffic. But humans have free will. Surely you are not allowed to decide for me what I will and will not do. Jennifer protested. What part of life script wasn't clear to you when I first described the process? You do have free will now, so please appreciate it enough not to misuse it.